Well, all right. Good morning and welcome to yet another. Well, no, this is not the way we're doing it because this is our first one. We have made it past 2020 and it was an awesome and very successful year for She Speaks. And we must say we commend the Bank of St. Lucia, who has been our partners and rallying with us along this mission. And of course, the directors, Tammy and Roy Ron, you guys, we did an amazing job. And I think it's only fitting that we kick off this brand new year with hope, with anticipation for another successful and beautiful year of She Speaks. And that's exactly what I'm proclaiming and what I'm claiming on behalf of the program for this year as well. My name is Maureen Alexander. Of course, I am your guest. And this morning, we've got quite an awesome young lady to kick it off. And she is coming straight from the home of our partners, like we like to call them, because these are not just sponsors. No, they are not. The Bank of St. Lucia has taken up that mantle with us, understood the vision, and has stuck with us. And they have done so, carrying into the 2021 era. So you know what? It's not just lip service, and we appreciate it so much. So it's such an honor to have one of their very own in our company this morning, Mrs. Keita Ogis. So when we come back, we'll start the conversation. A word from our partners, the Bank of St. Lucia.
We are the Bank of St. Lucia, for every solution, building our future today. We are the Bank of St. Lucia, for every solution, with you every step of the way. Always there for you, serving you and me. The St. Lucian way, we like family. Always there for you, helping you and me. BOSL Nuse for me. For every solution,
Bank of St. Lucia, all the bank you need.
Once again, good morning and welcome aboard. This is our first She Speak for 2021 and we are very, very happy and elated to have our very first guest on this morning, Mrs. Keita Ogis. And of course, she is a member from our partners, the Bank of St. Lucia. Let's go on over and say good morning and welcome to She Speaks. Thank you for being our first guest. And that's groundbreaking. You know, to be the first. So good morning to you, Mrs. Ogis. How are you?
Hi, good morning. I'm doing very well, thank you.
Well,
thanks
I can hear
for having me.
If it's any indication from the voice, we can tell. Very bright and sunny and upbeat this morning. So that's exactly a beautiful way to start off and kick off our program this morning. It's an honor to have you, by the way. And we'd like to extend again. We can't say thank you enough to the Bank of St. Lucia because a program of such is so critical. And we saw it over the past couple of months that we've been doing it throughout last year, how important and how much persons have gravitated towards a program of that nature to get to meet persons like yourself who are the movers and shakers, who, you know, who have done it, who is doing it. And, you know, despite challenges and continuing to push on through and to win. If you, for want of a better term, win, yeah, it's win, basically, you know, and then to give other persons inspiration that, you know what, we are regular people doing it, so it's doable. So thank you again so very much for agreeing to be our first guest.
Thank you.
Right. Well, let's get into a little bit of the conversations, because you know what happens, 30 minutes, it's like nothing wrong here. So who is Keita? Tell us a little bit about yourself, your hobbies, what you like, your beliefs, your values. Tell us a little bit more about you, Keita, the person.
Okay, I was born and raised in the community of Pasia Simon-Ripo, the second of four children,
right,
of Victor and Jacinto August.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I am employed, as you indicated, at Bank of St. Lucia as a chief financial officer.
Right.
I have worked there for 24 years now. But I'm not that old, though.
I doubt. Don't sound that way. You sound like a little child, though, by the way. I don't take it offensively, but you do sound very young. So I'm sure it's not that old. You probably, like me, just started off in the thing early, innit?
Yes, right. Early. My only place of work since I left A-level college.
Wow, that's it. Yes. Right, yes. Right. Awesome. Okay, well, we're getting into that because we understand you're now the CFO, is it? The chief?
Yes.
You are the chief financial officer, but we're going to get into that in a while. I want to know a little bit about you, you know, what it is that you like, apart from banking and finance and counting money apart from the dollar bills.
Yes.
What are some of the things that we would find you gravitating towards in your free time? What are some of the things that you would do?
Well, I love my family. I am married to Darian Mastre, and I have a 9-year-old daughter, Tiffany.
Oh, lovely.
Yes, when I am not working, I enjoy spending time with them. Aww. I enjoy cooking. Yes, I love to cook, and I love gardening sometimes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So wow.
Gardening? You said gardening?
Yes. I do a little bit of gardening. I've been planting some flowers lately.
Okay, so I want to know if it's food or flowers. Which one?
mostly flowers.
Mostly flowers.
Although I have a little kitchen garden as well that I maintain.
Oh.
It hasn't grown so much as yet, but it's getting there.
Oh, man. This is amazing stuff. This is great stuff. Wonderful. Growing up now, tell us a little bit more. Let's take it a little deeper now, because that's your lifestyle now. That's what you do in your spare time now, managing a career woman and all of that, and being a mom and the things that you like to keep your little self grounded. What were you like growing up? What was growing up like for you? You grew up in the countryside, right?
What we would call
the countryside. And let me tell you, I don't know about the other day. Sorry, I'm uptown girls, but country girls got it as far as I'm concerned. There's a little bit of oomph to us. Like, you know, you don't really get that sort of oomph when you grew up in the urban places. So tell me a little bit about yourself growing up. What was it like growing up?
Well, I had a normal childhood. Mm-hmm. I grew up surrounded by an extended family.
Right.
Who all helped to mold me in the person that I am today.
Right.
I still get little words of advice from my grandmother. She's 94 years old.
Oh.
So, yes, I grew up in a large family.
Oh,
I attended the Monrepos Combined School,
mm-hmm.
and I later went on to Beaufort Comprehensive Secondary School, and finally A-Level College, where I studied business and accounts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, wonderful. That's good stuff. What about you? You said you grew up in an extended family. Parents, you had your mom, dad, grandparent.
Yes.
What were they like? What are some of the role that they played in ensuring that, you know, you are the person that you are today?
Well, growing up, my father was a carpenter, and he later went on to building houses. Actually, he built mine and my sister's house about 7 years ago.
Your dad?
Yes, my dad.
Wow.
Yes.
I should have a dad like you. No, I want to fire my dad. Because right now, so I don't have a house and I need one. That's amazing stuff, isn't it?
Yes, my dad, he built it with such care, pride, and precision. You know,
wow.
It was a lot of pride for him in doing it.
That's lovely.
My mother was mostly a housewife.
Mm-hmm.
She worked at a hotel. I think it was called Halcyon Days in the past.
Okay.
And she also worked at a clothing factory.
Ah.
But later on, my mom always wanted to have her own business.
Mm-hmm.
So she went on to open a small meat shop in the community, which she still runs to this day.
Okay, lovely. What's her name? You can give her a little plug there. Give
me a little plug. August is her name.
Okay, wonderful. And the name of the business?
It's called Country Meat Shop.
Okay, look at it. When you say that's in the Miku area?
Yeah, in Passyas.
Passyas. All right. Next time I'm passing, I can remember.
Yes, you can stop by.
Wonderful.
My parents are also very reserved, and ultimately, I grew up to be very reserved as well.
Okay.
So, And my dad was a little strict.
But do you think the reserve that they grew you with is it a plus? Do you see it as a plus or?
It is a plus. It taught me to remain humble,
mm-hmm.
you know, and just seeing my parents progress in life. Also, I have to credit them for my strong spirit of perseverance. You
mm-hmm.
know, my father moving from a carpenter to building houses, my mom mm-hmm. moving from, you know, little factory worker to opening her own shop,
yes,
you know.
Yes,
so
yes. That's odd.
Did contribute to my strong spirit of perseverance.
All right. Well, we're going to get to that in a while. Let's take another word from our sponsors, and we're coming right back because we need to delve into that, because you started off in banking as a teller.
Yes.
You are now a chief financial officer.
Yes.
So you definitely picked up something from mom and dad back there.
Yes.
Carpenter to building house for daughters and now full blown.
She worked at a factory,
and now to owning her own business. So definitely there's some things that is rubbing off there. We're going to come out and find out all about it. Let's take a word from the Bank of St. Lucia.
We are the Bank of St. Lucia, for every solution, building our future today. We are the Bank of St. Lucia, for every solution, with you every step of the way. Serving you and me, the St. Lucian way. We like family, always there for you, helping you and me.
Lucia. For every solution. Bank of St. Lucia. All the bank you need.
And for those of you who are probably just joining us, we are live on our Facebook feed at the official page of Radio Caribbean International. You can catch us live there. I also reshared it on my page, but I would prefer you take it up via the Radio Caribbean International page. Those of you who are listening via the app or via the frequency or via the website, and, you know, just there with us, welcome aboard. And this is She Speak, the first one for the year 2021. And our guest this morning is Mrs. Keitha Ogis, who is a CFO of the Bank of St. Lucia, our partners. So back down we go. Let's continue the conversation. You're very accomplished academically and balancing work, family, and you know, and studying must have been a challenge. I mean, it's a lot. Share with us this achievements and take us along this journey to success where you are right now.
Okay, so so my career started when I joined BOSL at the Beaufort branch. It was called NCB at that time on April 1st, 1996, All Fool's Day.
It was no joke then, though.
I was not sure. I remember walking into the bank, unsure whether I indeed got the job or whether it was a prank.
It was a prank? Oh, gosh.
I wasn't sure. I only received the call to say, come to work. So we didn't have caller ID back then.
No,
so
exactly.
I didn't get any official letter. So
Mama,
I was a little worried.
Gosh.
Yes. I intended on working for 2 years to accumulate some funds and then to leave and go to university.
Right. But when you what? What were you hoping to pursue? Was it always banking or finance?
It was always finance, right? Because I got a love for finance when I left high school and A-level as well, because I studied accounts and business.
Right, right.
So I'm going on to study business.
Okay.
But then when the 2 years was approaching, I decided to try out ACCA. That's a professional accounting designation.
Right, right. I am aware of it.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So I tried for the first exam and I passed. So I told myself, hey, I can do this. I mean, I could save a whole lot of money while working at the same time and studying. So I guess I already had that spirit of frugality that most finance professionals possess. So I decided I would have saved some money.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really not an easy task, I have to say. I stumbled and I failed, and I picked right back up. I spoke to myself a lot, and I reminded myself constantly that if God had taken me that far, he would take me the rest of the way. So if I had passed 3 subjects and I kept failing another one, I would keep going, because if I could get 3 subjects, I could get the rest.
Sure.
You know, and
yes.
At that time, an ACCA exam was just about £40, and I just had to buy the books. So it was relatively inexpensive.
Right.
Yeah. But that journey taught me a valuable lesson, you know, about my ability to achieve anything that I set my mind to. You know, and it was actually one of the quotes a very dear friend of mine left me when we left high school. I still use it to this day. It said, she wrote it on my autograph book, "Whatever the mind of man can conceive and believe, it can achieve." So I kept that all those years, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, I took lessons for subjects I had a challenge with, like tax. So I did what it took to ensure that I finished. I mean, just the satisfaction of knowing, you know, I did it on my own, you know, kept me going.
Yes.
So that was my earlier years in the year 2000.
What was driving you then, though? I mean, you were doing it, yes, you were working, but you were pretty young at that time. So young people at that time don't really think about, it's not, that's probably not what's on their mind. So what was the driving force for you, thought?
I had a vivid imagination. I used to just see myself nicely dressed, owning this, owning that, and you know, and then I just the fact of knowing that I'm saving a lot of money, because I was going to go to school. My parents didn't just have me, they had other kids to look after and send to tertiary education. So if I could do this on my own, I'd also be helping them out, because they had made a lot of sacrifices for us. So I saw that as helping my parents and also helping myself.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's just amazing stuff.
It's a long story. I don't know if you want me to go through this story.
Well, you could give us a little bit more. We have a little time, you know. We're going to get into the rest of it in a bit. But, let's go through it. Let's hear it.
Okay. So back in 2000, I got promoted from a teller to an accounts officer at the Bridge Street branch in Castries.
That was within how many years before?
It was from 1996. So it's like 4 years after, almost
right.
4 years.
Okay.
A little bit of 4 years.
Right.
It was
so
January 2000.
You were a teller for about 4 years, and then you you got promoted.
Yes, a little less than four, yeah.
Right, okay. Yeah. All right, so walk us through that.
Yes, so I got this opportunity in finance. Mm. I was responsible for paying bills, but okay. I was really, really happy for the opportunity. Mm. So because I was in finance, I wanted to apply some of what I've been learning at ECCA. So although my job back then was just to pay bills, I wanted to learn about investments. I wanted to prepare the budget. I wanted to learn through the financial reports. So if my bosses back then were working late, or on weekends, on budgets or financial reports, I was right there with them because then, you know, I just the feeling that I can actually do this, you know, that I had the ability was really what was driving me.
Wow.
So, I mean, I still had to study. So I learned that I could put in all the extra efforts and make more time to study by simply organizing myself.
But not just that. I think, I don't know if it was what applied to you as well. I think when you're studying and you actually have the hands-on going with it, for me, it will work because I'm not a bookie. So what I'm doing in the book, if I'm actually doing it, it helps me to understand it.
Exactly.
So I think, I don't know. That was it for you as well?
That was it for me as well. Yeah. Okay, so I wanted to know that I can actually apply what I'm doing and actually helps me understand it better. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I made time for study, 1 to 2 hours daily. Mm-hmm. And on the weekend, I would go on the morning or I'd come to the bank so I can get some nice peace and quiet. Mm-hmm. So I completed my ECCA in 2005. Mm-hmm. So I was done with that by 2005. Right before I completed my ECCA in 2004, mm-hmm. I got a promotion to treasury officer where I also had responsibility for management accounting. And I was responsible for managing excess cash and making recommendations for investments. So I loved investments. Oh. I was also responsible for budgeting. So I did all of that, you know.
That's a lot.
I know. I introduced Excel and I introduced new things to the job. I did templates for budgets, you know.
Look at you. No wonder. And I don't think that's the end at all. With a drive like yours, I think we're looking at beyond CFO soon. Let's go through it. Yeah. So how long did you spend there?
As a treasury officer in up to 2009. In 2009, I had my daughter. So on my return from maternity leave, I was promoted to the post of group financial accountant, which was later upgraded to group finance manager. Mm-hmm. You know, it was bittersweet for me because although it was a promotion, you know, I really enjoyed the treasury function because I liked my investments, etc. And I also just had a baby.
How was that working out? Tell us, we want to know.
Thankfully, I had my mom because I had to travel back to Maripo, who was really assisting. Yeah.
Lovely.
But it was a new challenge, and I love a challenge. So I rolled up my sleeves and gave it my best shot. You know, I held the position for 8 years, and I must say it was the most rewarding experience of all so far. Mm-hmm. I was not afraid to ask questions. I learned day by day, year by year. You know, I have been a stickler for meeting timelines and producing quality work. So you can imagine how much additional hours I put in, you know.
Of course.
To make it even more challenging, the FC at the time resigned a few months after I took on the job.
Oops.
So I had to undertake my first year-end audit on my own without a CFO to oversee me. And it was not just audit for one company.
Wow.
It was financial statements for a group of companies.
For a group of companies, isn't it?
Yeah, we had an offshore bank, we had a mortgage bank, an insurance company, a brokerage company.
Wow.
So I had to consolidate all of that. I had to prepare the financials for Bank of St. Lucia as well. So I had to do the taxes for the company as well.
Right. So when that rolled up, when that opportunity presented itself and you realized, okay, yes, you're a driven person, but here you are now. This is quite a lot of work to do. And the CFO just happened to leave. Did you feel that, oh boy, I'm not gonna be able to handle that? Did you at any time doubt yourself?
Yes, I did. Because I got nervous at times, and I said, how will I do this? But I know I had to organize myself because I know I wanted to do this.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So although I was nervous about it and I was doubting, but I know I wanted to do it, so I would have to figure out how I would do it. You know, and And, you know, I just kept going at it. Thankfully, for my support, my team at work assisted. And I just pretty much organized the workload. I put a lot of extra hours. And
But how was that working out?
Deadlines.
How was that? Okay, I want to stop you there for a little bit. You had to put in a lot of work, obviously. So how was that working out with the hussy? Hussy can say, I call you, you at work. I need my wife. You know, or your daughter, or, you know, I mean, was it posing any problem in that light?
Yes,
and then some sacrifices had to be met and made, and, you know, so tell us about that as well.
At that time, that's 2010, my daughter was just a few months old.
Mm-hmm.
I always felt that every time I came home and in the late evening, I just sort of smiled on her face just to see me. That made everything go away. It just made everything almost worth it, and it just, like, made my day. I look forward to just heading home and looking at her and seeing her smile.
Right,
my husband has been very, I must say, very supportive, even right now.
He would have had to be, He would have. I guess he understood the vision.
He understood it. You know, even right now at school, the teachers call him. The teachers refer to him as Miss because they think he's the mother. He takes a very he's very interested in my daughter's school. You know, so wherever I'm falling short, he makes sure he catches on.
Oh, this is important.
So yeah, so we've
Kudos
had something good going there. Yeah.
Wonderful.
So
had you not have that kind of support in a partner, do you think it would have gone differently?
Yes, I probably have to pay a maid and or something for my daughter. Yes, it probably would have all my I have an extended family, so I had a support system because when my daughter was younger, my mom took quick care of her when she was a toddler.
Right. Wonderful.
Yeah.
This is some lovely stuff. So okay, we went through that process. You got that challenge. You took it up and you definitely delivered because you're there still.
Yes, and I had some other really good experiences in that job because we acquired Bank of St. Vincent. So just my participation in the acquisition, the due diligence, you know, process, that's also very rewarding. And also I accounting for amalgamation of our subsidiaries over time and also disposal of subsidiaries over time. Honestly, I totally enjoyed that. So I had some, really challenging but fun experiences in that job, you know. Yes. And then I completed during my job as finance manager, I completed a professional banking diploma.
Right.
With a graduate,
so that means you would have finished off with the ACC and everything already, and you've gone on
and
to
I studied
take
again.
On, you studied again. Right.
Yes.
Oh, lovely. Right.
Yes.
Okay. So you did that, and then you completed that, and then what happened then?
So,
at what point in time did you take up the post of CFO?
Okay. So in 2017. A few months after, not directly after the CFO there, but a few months after the CFO I spoke about the former one, and we had re-employed another CFO in 2010.
Right.
He left in 2017. A few months after he retired and moved back to his home in Scotland, an opportunity came about for the post of CFO.
Right.
Now,
right.
I panicked, honestly, at the thought of applying.
Why, though?
Because, well, generally, I lacked some self-confidence, and also there was a general perception that those jobs are handed out to men and persons outside of BUS, especially foreigners, you know. So anyway, thank God for a few close friends, you know, who encouraged me and showed me, but basically, Keith, that you're already doing the job, you know, apply, you know. So I took the plunge and I applied.
Well, you know what, and that jumps me right into my next, because I was about to ask you, you know, what was it like blazing the trail in as a woman in that field? Because like you said, the perception was that most of the time men would have been the ones filling these positions. So you got it. You stepped in, jumped in, and you got it. So
got
what
it.
Was it like for you? You know, I'm up to today. That was 2017. You said.
Yes.
17, 18, 19, 20, 21, about three, four years thereabout, you've been holding down that post, that position, that post. So certainly you've been and in some challenging times as well. So what is it like for you blazing that trail as a woman in that field?
Well, it has been a very humbling experience for me. Well, it happened for me naturally because I think the success just came because I enjoyed what I do,
right.
And I do it to the best of my ability. Right.
In other words, I want to step in there and tell you, no, it's not naturally. You really did put the work in, because if you weren't putting that extra hours, or you didn't have the passion to want to drive and teach yourself what it is you need to know, I don't think you'd have been successful, you know.
Yeah, that's true, because as a woman, you know, you have to work harder to prove yourself, probably even more than a man has to, you know. Mm. So it was a good thing that I worked hard, and I mean, I proved myself. So
yes, you did. Absolutely. Yes. You certainly did. And that's what a lot of our young people need to understand as well. You have to, you know, it's doable, but you have to be willing to put in the work, eh?
Yes, you have to. Very much so.
Wonderful.
Yeah,
wonderful. But you've been with them all of your life, really. Bank of St. Lucia, all of your working life, your career life, you've been with them. What it is like banking, you know, you're in banking, you've explained why, that the channel that you were guided into. But what it has been like working all your life in just one entity? Have you ever thought about, has it ever crossed your mind? No, listen, leave Mrs. Ogis alone. We're just having a conversation here. Bank of St. Lucia, we're having a conversation. I mean, she's not going anywhere, all right? I am the one asking if she's ever thought, you know, sometimes it crossed your mind. I mean, I've been in radio all my life. It crossed my mind to do other things. But here I am, and I don't think, I think that is where I'm going to be, you know, for a while. So what about you?
Okay, so why banking? Well, banking has just evolved for me because that's my first place of work.
Mm-hmm.
And because I like finance, and a bank is a financial institution, I guess I benefited from everything finance, you know,
right.
Because the bank's full of financial instruments, etc. So I got, you know, I was never bored. Over the years, I developed a strong sense of loyalty and desire, you know, to see the bank become successful, I guess, because I have been there through so much.
It became part of you, innit?
Yeah, it became part of me, you know. It was devastating for me to see the damaging impact of the financial crisis, you know, on the bank's performance, you know.
Right.
We had reported significant losses. But it was also very rewarding for me because I took part in the plan to bring the bank back to a strong and profitable position, you know.
Right.
And just being an indigenous bank, the success of Bank of St. Lucia is the success of St. Lucia. And the rest of the financial system throughout the Eastern Caribbean Union, you know, because BOSL has grown to be the second largest bank in the ECCU area.
Mm-hmm.
And we employ quite a bit of St. Lucians, over 360, and we have made significant impact in the lives of many St. Lucians, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And providing, you know, a loan to provide a home, business venture, etc. And it's never boring working here. It's always a challenge. Look, we have now COVID-19, the new challenge.
Right.
I'm never bored. It's always something. So to keep me going. So, you know, all of that is the reason why I've been there for that long.
Let me tell you, had I known that is the person that I was speaking to this morning, I'd reserve a few more hours, you know, because that conversation sweet me. And I could go on forever, but we definitely got to come to a point where we got to wrap up. So let me just take one word from the sponsor again, from the Bank of St. Lucia. When we come back, we want to talk a little bit about, you know, just to wrap up, some of the challenges that you probably would have faced along the way, because none of these, I mean, every journey has its successes, its obstacles, and its failures, and, you know, you must have gone through some of those. So we just want to, you know, share with us, and then, of course, to give some of our women and girls in society and general listeners a little something to walk away with. So we'll be back and we'll wrap up.
Okay.
We are the Bank of St. Lucia, for every solution, building our future today. We are the Bank of St. Lucia, for every solution, with you every step of the way. Always there for you, serving you and me. The St. Lucian way, we like family. Always there for you, helping you and me. BOSL Nuce for me. We are the Bank of St. Lucia, for solution.
Bank of St. Lucia, all the bank you need.
And we are back, and it's like I said in the beginning, 30 minutes already wrap itself up on us there already.
Wow.
So I know the conversation was really, that happens when you're having a fruitful conversation. So tell us a little bit about, you know, along that journey. I mean, like we said, every success, every journey has its success, its obstacles, its failures, you know, little hurdles along the way. So tell us a little bit about, you know, some of those and how you would have handled them.
Okay, so I have highlighted my successes and my school achievements, my career.
Mm-hmm.
Another success is just seeing my daughter grow up with such strong values. You know, it's for me, it's also great success.
Yes.
As I indicate, one of my biggest challenges has been with balancing work and family life. Mm-hmm. I do make an effort, but I have to make an effort to remind myself that I'm part of my family.
Yes.
And my daughter has helped quite a bit in that regard. Mm-hmm. She has designated Fridays as family game night.
Wow.
So every Friday I cannot look mad. You know, if she sees on my face that I'm not happy, she gets upset. So I have to be in the mood, so we do that. But that's been one of my biggest challenges, just balancing the two. But I know the importance, and I really make an effort. I take vacation very seriously, so I can actually spend time with my family.
Balance is important.
Balance is very important, I maintain my faith in God, even during my studies, I prayed a lot. I never felt I was alone, I think if I pray, and I kept my faith. I always felt that God was right there with me, guiding me. Mm-hmm. And I learned, when you fail, because I feel ACC was very difficult, and I was practically studying on my own, right? So I failed a few times, but the thing is, I knew that I was supposed to get up and try again. There's once I failed a subject twice, so I had to do it the third time, So yeah, I never give up.
That's the thing. I probably would not give up, I'll be honest with you. Say I failed the first time, I'm going back again, and you give me a uppercut. No, I'm not coming back. Some of us would think like that, but you didn't stop.
You shouldn't.
That's good.
If you have done someone pass, you can pass the rest.
Mm-hmm.
If something goes wrong at work, or something doesn't go as I planned, as anybody, you would pine over it, it push you down for a little while. Mm-hmm. But I realized that every time I figure out how to deal with the issue, I felt better. As long as I come up with a plan. So now, anytime something goes wrong, first thing I'm going to say is, how can we fix it? And it won't happen again. So I've learned that, and then I deal with that, And
wonderful.
The job is very stressful and demanding, as I have showed you. Yes, and expectations are higher at this level, and the margin of error is very narrow. So you have to manage stress.
Right, basically.
That's important.
And you're also in charge of other people with their own stresses, so ain't it?
Exactly, right. So it's a lot of stress to manage. But I always try and maintain a positive attitude, Mm-hmm. I take a break, when you take a break, when you have reached a point that you need a break. Mm-hmm. You chat a little, smile, I try not to let stress show on my face, I exercise is very important, maybe not as much as I should be exercising, but I do exercise.
Mm-hmm.
I have a little home treadmill, and I go for walks now and then. Yeah.
Right. How would your employees describe you as a leader? And I think that is going into the wrap-up of our final, which is, of course, to inspire women and listeners and girls. And, because you've been doing it and you've been good at it, and the sort of attributes that you have, your work ethics is really amazing. But not everybody has an appreciation for that. So how do you know?
I think first thing they would say that I'm a very hard worker, for sure. They would say that.
So you lead by example.
Yes.
You don't just throw a tunnel and tell them to work. You show them that you work as well. You put in the work as well.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And they will say that I manifest loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
And I maintain my focus. That I am fair.
Right.
And I possess humility.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have integrity. I'm thinking that that's what they would see.
All right. Well, I think so too. I think some of them might think you a little. Are you a very, strict, in terms of, because you seem like you're work, you're success driven. So you like to see things get done, and if it's not going your way. How do you deal with it? I want to know.
Yes, but I am very, very, as you could tell, because I'm very soft-spoken.
Yes, you are, you're true. I don't think you could tell me anything,
so
take it seriously.
So I have my ways, getting around, setting my deadlines and following up to make sure that it's achieved.
And you don't have to come across as a big bully.
No, I don't think I'm a bully.
That's beautiful. Awesome. Well, tell me about our listeners. We definitely have to wrap up. We're already 6 minutes gone after the hour of 11 o'clock. So let's wrap up. We've got persons listening, quite a number of ladies trending on our Facebook Live, sending love from the USVI and all over. So, you know, what would you say to women and girls in our society? What advice would you give to them in general and persons listening who may just need to hear a little something to push on through?
Okay, so I would encourage women to support other women. You know, our success inspires others to aim higher. Mm-hmm. And as I said earlier, it's difficult for a woman to be seen and respected as a leader. For a woman has to work harder to prove herself, oftentimes more than a man has to. Sure. So because I always wanted to prove myself for me, I guess success followed with that, you know. And find a career that you are passionate about. Mm-hmm. It is much easier when you love what you do.
Right.
So for younger women especially, you know, maintain a positive attitude and look at experiences as the acquisition of knowledge that will benefit you in the future. No one can take away your experience. It's with you wherever you go. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, always look at whatever you do as an experience that will last, will remain with you forever. Mm-hmm. Stay focused and organize your work and study schedule. Mm-hmm. And make time to organize your life, you know. Right. Women can have it all, but it takes planning, you know.
Wow.
So you have to remember, over and above work, mm-hmm. family life is important.
Oh, gosh.
So, yes, it's what gives you the purpose, you know,
right,
for the hard work that you do. You have to have a reason why you work so hard,
right.
You know. So
it is doable. It's doable to be a career woman who is driven and is achieving and succeeding and maintain a family as well, because
yes.
That's where you strike your balance.
But you have to plan, because this is a lot.
It's a lot.
And so just remember that success comes through hard work, and you need to be willing to put in the additional effort, you know, and maintain mm-hmm. high standards of ethics and know your expectations and deliver on them.
Wow.
So I think much more women can succeed in this life, you know. At BUSL, we have quite a number of other amazing women doing good things in leadership roles. Yeah.
Yes, wonderful. Mrs. Ogis, you are a darling. It was such an honor. No, I'm not. Listen, there was a very, very awesome decision to kick off with you this morning. What an inspiration. And continue to inspire and continue to, you know, lend whatever it is you continue to lend in your holistic form, because you're not just pushing out an academic and career vibe there, but you're actually promoting the family life and all of that. And we appreciate it. Nice balance. I like it.
Okay. Thanks so much for having me. Okay, then.
It was an honor. All right. You're on the bank of St. Lucia. Thank you so very much.
Okay.
Wonderful. Wow, she's amazing, isn't it? Oh man, I like her. I really like her. You know what? Because I believe in her way of those things as well. Now, I don't have a problem with anybody else. You know, so some women believe that they have got to do it career and focus on that, because they can't. If you think that's what... But she reminds me of how I view it. If I had to do it, I would do career and balance family and career. I would do it like that, because I believe in family as well. I don't know. I like her. I am happy we started off with her. Mrs. Keitha Ogis, thank you very much. That was our very first guest for She Speaks for 2021. Come next Tuesday, we'll be back again with another amazing guest. Thank you so much to all our viewers and our listeners. Thank you for participating, those of you who did. And of course, thank you to the Bank of St. Lucia for making sure that this happened this morning. Let's take in a word from them and then we'll be back. Bye, guys.